So much emphasis is actually placed in society. You can just see that a Varnashram society is really a society of education. Place great emphasis on this education. And the grihasthas are willing to actually fund or finance that education. And in Krishna consciousness, what did we do? Well, you're a brahmachari, you're a grihastha, you're a sannyasi. You have to participate to maintain the institution as well. So we work. We work in order to maintain the institution. We're not just absorbed in studying. If we can have a morning program, we're happy. Evening program, that's already becomes an opulence. And for devotees to read regularly and study Srila Prabhupada's books, which obviously was Prabhupada's purpose. He didn't write all of these books for them to be just distributed. He wrote them so that we actually have quality time to study and to absorb ourselves in those books as much as possible. And in order to facilitate that, ultimately it required that as time goes on, a Grihastha community evolves who really takes full responsibility for maintaining, for instance, an institution like Karuna Bhavan, or for that matter, all of the temples around around the world. And these temples then become places of study and places of education, where we both learn and also teach. And that type of exchange, the exchange maintenance for knowledge, this is why we read so often how grihasthas would so much appreciate if, well, Shukadev Goswami, although he wasn't really a sannyasi, he wasn't officially a sannyasi, but when he would come, then immediately they would feed them, they would welcome them, and they would want to hear. So Prabhupada always emphasizes this thing, how grihasthas were always very eager to hear from sages, from saintly personalities, because that is what would keep them on the track to get to the vanaprastha stage. And then beyond that, those who are brahmanas, they would also take sannyas, and those who are not, then they would just stay in the vanaprastha ashram. So the purpose of the society is just to be absorbed in shravanam kirtanam. And either learning or perfecting. We're far away from that. You see that. You see it, for instance, down at the Manu, where you have a large Indian community. And although they're very much entangled in that outside society that we live in, but still they have vestiges of this Vaishnav culture, and they know that it's their responsibility to actually maintain the sadhus. And it's the sadhus' responsibility to maintain them. That was also the tradition of the churches who maintained the churches. It was a congregation. It isn't just an Indian thing. But it's obviously very ingrained and long-standing in Indian culture, and somehow or another seems to be maintaining somewhat better. Anyway, I'll just stop here. So we just conclude is what it's stated here, that translation is, one can cross over the ocean of seagoing vessels, one can cross the dangerous situation of the material ocean by living with a wife. And the part which is not in the translation, and that also, and the grihasthas also facilitate all the other ashramas from completing their duties or for perfecting their own responsibilities. Hare Krishna.
Some parts of the translation that weren't there, that didn't kind of the word. Why
I don't know. Usually Prabhupada's doing just the opposite. Rather, he's elaborating on the translations. It's interesting. Is it Srila Prabhupada? I don't know. Is it just an error in the book or something that was left out? Maybe Prabhupada was just sort of emphasizing this part. He's certainly emphasizing that part that's there in the purport. He brings it up. Interesting to see what the original was.
I just wondered if he asked us and maintain, like the sannyasis, brahmacharis, that like small community like us, there's not so many grihasthas, and the whole lot outside. I can see that there's a lot of people that could get money because of, like it says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you don't want to think about Krishna all the time and then follow the principles. If you don't want to do that, then work. If you don't want to do that, get money. So you can see in society there's a lot of people in that direction. You don't really want to get involved so much, but you don't get money. But it kind of have to adapt to catering for these people and look after them culturally, you know. And, because I think it can be done. From what I can see, it can be done, but I do think we have to, it's like you say, we're far away from it, but I do think we could do it if we made changes. So I just wondered if you could give advice on what changes we could make to appeal to these people, to give money and say, okay, that's your part, and we'll play our part and we'll look after you.
I don't know if it's just changes, but rather we need to give the process time to mature, and we need to give people Krishna consciousness, facilitate their understanding what it's about, and purify their hearts. I don't think anybody's going to give people who are at least sympathetic to Krishna consciousness, but mostly the example is that it takes devotees. So when you talk about Varnashram, you're talking about people who are, at least they have a very strong social identification, even though they may be of different religious orientations. So in India, for instance, people will give to a sadhu. Now whether that sadhu is a Shivite, whether he's a Vaishnav, or there's something else, they'll give to a sadhu because that's part of the social structure that you give to a sadhu. And that type of education that people need to buy into their responsibility, it will take time, but it requires preaching. It requires preaching and education. And then as people's hearts become purified, then in one sense it becomes natural. It becomes natural.
Ramush, you were saying that Prabhupada was displeased, at least that's what I thought, saying that the devotees were chanting for a few years but they weren't coming up onto the transcendental platform.
Well, he observed that, yeah.
And also, I also heard that Prabhupada was actually really surprised that he managed to get the disciples to follow the principles, because when he came, he didn't envision doing that either. So,
Prabhupada saw that there would be difficulty in a society whose practices are all against the principles for them to adopt and come. So Prabhupada, you can say, he was surprised that they came. I don't know if he was really surprised, but certainly it was a wonderful event. But once having come, then if people really apply themselves to the chanting, the potency of the holy name is such that it acts very quickly. But because of contamination and attachment by those very bad practices, then devotees didn't necessarily give themselves to that chanting in the same way that it was in the way that it would actually give those type of quick results. I don't know if it's Srila Prabhupada was, he never made a big thing of it. He commented, there was an observation, but Prabhupada was a very pragmatic person. He was a preacher, a world preacher, so he just saw, well, this is the reality, and therefore you have to make adjustments to that, which Srila Prabhupada was constantly doing. He was observing things, he was observing the effect of Krishna consciousness, he was observing what was going on. Now he saw that, gave that example of Gurukula. People aren't going to appreciate Indian type of Gurukula, so to take it back to India. And Prabhupada adjusted, keeping principles, but adjusted things so as to make Krishna consciousness work.
You listed the normal sequence of the yugas, Satya, Dwarka, Traitra, Kali. But we hear in the previous one, it flipped, Traitra and Dwarka flipped. What actually changed? Was it just the methodology of self-realization, or did longevity also shift as well?
Why did it change?
Well, because you said that Traitra, passion comes in, Dwarka.
Traitra comes first, and then.
So they also flipped. Go from goodness
to ignorance, then to passion, then to ignorance. I don't know. I haven't heard. Of course, that's due to a particular curse that's taken place, and that happens just in this age. That age comes before that. The third comes before the second. Whether all the symptoms of the third come before the second, I guess that's what defines an age, is its symptoms and its qualities. It may well be that those qualities were also there. Otherwise, it would only be the length of the age. But it's not particularly clear what that means when it says that Traita comes before Dwapara. So that the length of that age whether it's just talking about that age itself, or whether it means that all the qualities are there. I don't know. It would require some research. Non-existent now. It doesn't exist in practice. It exists in theory. There may be very religious people, dutiful people who are living individuals, but actual places which are based on principles of Varnashram doesn't really exist. And so here's the Krishna consciousness movement that's meant to be the vehicle for facilitating that. It certainly gives us, you need to have some type of boundaries to make a social structure work. It's better if the boundaries are not just community, but are actually geographical. In other words, if you can go somewhere, and that's why having a Varnashram structure, doing this type of thing in a farming community, which means that you're away from the oppressive influence of city life, is much easier. You set up your own sort of bylaws as to how you function. You have your own constitution, And everyone who's living there does that. We can have that here, just like we're all here in this one room, but when everyone goes into all different directions when they leave here, then how do you really establish and then monitor and facilitate other people following that? We've all got the same lifestyle out there. It's much, much more complex, and it becomes much more subjective, or not even subjective, but it becomes much more up to the individual to stand alone, because he's standing with his next door neighbors that are doing all types of things, and he doesn't get that type of particular support. That is actually living that lifestyle. The work is different, and Varna is in one sense even more important than the ashram. And that's why, once again, farming communities, Prabhupada stressed so much importance, not just from the point of self-sufficiency, but because you can have a common lifestyle together. And that really builds strength, reinforces, devotees are able to reinforce their own values. But still, if you have a community, devotees use this word community a lot. I'm very particular about what community means. And if you have a community, it means that you have people who really have values in common. And the values has to be more than just individuals declaring themselves to be devotees, Hare Krishnas, and that makes a community. Because that doesn't necessarily make a community. So in the Vedic system, you may have many people who are Vedic, but the Brahmins live there, and the other folks live there, and the Kshatriyas live over there, and they live in different places because they have different customs or different habits. And the more that you have habits in common, the more you can actually mix together. So for everyone to actually mix and to really have a common identity, you have to have very, very strong common practices. It requires more than just a very minor identification that I'm a devotee. And it also requires, ultimately, discipline. That members of a community, in our case, it has to be voluntary, and that case of a state, it's not voluntary, it's compulsory. You have to accept discipline. There are laws and there are consequences for not following laws. And so, for instance, if it's maybe a rare occasion, but it happens, if a devotee decides that he's going to go to McDonald's, is anyone going to punish him? If he happened to be living in Parikshit Maharaj's time, yes, he would. But in our society, the most we'd say, I don't think you're welcome to the temple for a while. So really, society only has a value, community only has value if you can enforce your values and if you can enforce your rules. If you can't enforce rules, you don't have a community, you have anarchy, you have chaos. And that's generally what we have in devotee communities, chaos. Sometimes it's a little organized, but mostly it's quite chaotic. Everyone wants to live their own lives and determine their own set of values. That doesn't really make for things in common. And therefore, our communities have an unbelievable amount of conflict. So anyway, so it's not an easy thing. Generally, Prabhupada didn't leave us easy things to do. He gave us a lot of difficult tasks. And building a society, very difficult. It's especially when you build a society that doesn't have muscle. In other words, it's not a state society, but rather it's just a spiritual society, a spiritual organization. Extremely difficult. Sort of one of the real things that the GBC body sort of grapples with. We've got lots and lots of laws and rules. We don't have anybody to enforce them, except for a poor person called the temple president, who's the one who's supposed to be like a policeman and a judge and an enforcer and a psychiatrist and everything else. And if he doesn't do his job, then everyone else gets on him like a swarm of flies get on some. So it's a very, very, very difficult task. And for it to work, it really requires high level of Krishna consciousness on the individuals. That's how it will work. But that was the original problem. Prabhupada saw that, unfortunately, we don't have such a high level of Krishna consciousness. So, Sakya Yuga, they had a high level of Krishna consciousness, so no dissent, no disagreement. Everyone got along quite well. And that, in fact, that was something sort of similar to what Srila Prabhupada was envisioning, although with some division, because we want to also show how people of different natures are. Varnashram is not just for us. It's meant to actually give a model for society. So that's the other aspect. One is what it does for the devotees. And the other is that we actually show people. Because people ask when you're preaching, well, if you were in charge, what would you do? What would you do with the president? How would you solve society's problems? It's very nice. We talk about you're not this body, and we're spirit, soul, and God's a person. But ultimately, it comes down to, and how does all this philosophy change the world around us? A lot of interesting challenges. Sense, religious organizations have that, just like here, charities. You can have charity law, and you can have your own form of sort of how you want to govern that charity, provided that none of those laws contravene the regular laws of the land. You can have additional laws. You can have a law, for instance, that if one of your members eats meat, then they can't go on the altar. That's all right, but you can't have a law that says that if he eats meat that you're going to cut off his hands or something, because that goes against loss of the land. But it would be nice. Just like the Vatican is a separate country. Its own laws. They have their own little army of Swiss. Of course, they're Swiss soldiers, but they have their own little army of soldiers. They have their own banking system. They have. It's very small. Yeah, the question is, who would want to become the king of the Kshatriya? Easier to get Brahmanas than it is. Okay, so we're on time today, and I guess we're continuing this evening. Thank you very much, and then we'll go to Puja and start that process. And I guess if there's anyone to be in touch with, I'm just going to do that. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jai, Jai Nitai Gopinanda.